on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM, Prescott, Chino Valley, and Paulden 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, the talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's
Hammer Time.
Waking up with the YCCA. Hammer Time is brought to you by Lawhorn Plumbing, Verde Valley Alarm Services, Prescott Home Safety, Greenlee Designer Surfaces, Get Right Mitigation, Franklin Plumbing, The Blind Brothers, Made to Order, Vicente Landscaping, Barrett Propane, and Badger Roofing. And now from the studios of KQ&A, it's Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA. Here's the Executive Director of the Yavapai County Contractors Association, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey, everybody. Happy weekend to you. Yoo-hoo.
Good job.
Thank you.
Am I going to join you singing?
No, you don't ever. No, you don't.
So take it away.
Okay. Happy weekend, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Hammer Time, brought to you by YCCA. Mr. Wingman, Mike Enders, this is the last weekend in August.
So it's the last deja vu of the month.
It is. Then we kind of roll over to a new deja vu.
We will.
So how have you been, my friend?
Just dandy. How have you been?
Good. Our weekend show last weekend with Pilar, with the Healing Fields in Prescott Valley. Lovely show. Lovely woman. Everybody take advantage of that. The flags go up September 5th, right. So please remember.
If you haven't been, you absolutely have to go.
Absolutely. I love, have you heard the quesadillas yet?
I have not.
Mike, seriously.
I need to venture to the other side of town.
They're all over.
Not in my neighborhood.
Then you need to get out.
That's what I say. I need to get
you
out.
You are too secluded. You have got to go hear the quesadillas. Listeners, there's cicadas in case you want to know. I love calling them quesadillas.
In your world, they're quesadillas.
They are in my world. I love them. So other than that, we've got a super show this morning. We're going to talk about fundamental martial arts.
Perfect.
And PMAs. Positive mental attitudes.
Perfect.
How important that is nowadays.
I was still on the martial arts. That means we're going to have to behave ourselves.
Yes, we are, because we have a team of martial – are they called martial arts personalities, martial arts people?
Well, today they're going to be martial artists.
Okay, I like that. I wonder what we do call them. Listeners, stay tuned, and we will soon find out. Martial arts people.
There you go.
Fighters, FMAs. Take us to break, and when we come back, you will meet the beautiful Leela Harding, the boss man, Scott Shepherd of FMA. Leela is a student, along with Tom Riley, is also a student, and we're going to get into the nitty-gritty.
Super. So we'll meet our protectors in just a few minutes.
That's good. We'll be right back.
We're listening to Hammer Time, brought to you by Yavapai County Contractors Association, and we're airing on Talk of the Quad Cities. That's KQ&A 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM if you're in Cottonwood or Prescott Valley.
And the web. Did you say web?
No, I did not.
Don't forget the web.
KQNA.com.
You got it.
Perfect. So fill up that other cup of coffee or that chocolate milk.
Yes.
Or that OJ. Sit back and relax, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey, happy weekend, everybody. Good morning. And once again, thank you for tuning in to Hammer Time. Mike and I love bringing you this show every weekend.
Absolutely, we do.
How much love?
This much.
So our show with us this morning, we have Mr. Scott Shepherd. He is the owner, the man of the vision of FMA, Fundamental Martial Arts. Scott, welcome to Hammer Time.
Thank you very much for having me again.
I know this is so exciting. We want to see what's new and exciting in the world of martial arts. So thank you for being with Mike and me. And even more exciting, you brought two of your students
with you.
One old guy.
Hey, now. I got to stand up for that.
My nickname is The Fog.
Yes.
Flippin' old guy.
Yeah, flippin' NFL guy, Tom Riley, that we all know. He's been in the universe for how many years, Tom?
71.
And he's been in the industry for how many years?
46.
Perfect.
And almost 50.
And you are a student of Mr. Shepherd's, a fundamental martial artist.
That is correct.
And the most beautiful, I'm so impressed, Lila Harding, a female martial artist.
Here I am.
I know, ready to roll.
Look out.
Okay, no, we're ready to rumble. Okay, so Lila and Tom, what in the world made you, convinced you, excited you to get into the world of martial arts, where you could just set somebody back on their heels if you had to?
I'd love to go first because
absolutely.
I wasn't looking for a martial arts class, actually. I got invited to a workshop that Scott gives and with a bunch of ladies, and I thought, that sounds interesting. I like that. And it was so much different than I thought it was going to be. And the lady who invited me kind of was already a student, and she encouraged me to come. And I thought, I don't have time for this. I'm not looking for this. I'm 5'10". You know, I'm a healthy, you know, I've been in the military. Like, what do I need a martial arts class for? But I decided it might be interesting just to see what I could learn. And I have not been disappointed.
So what you could learn in addition to skills that you already had, or brand new skills for taking care of yourself?
Well, I think of myself as pretty aware walking around. And like I said, I'm not, you know, I'm walking around right. aware. But with the statistics that he was sharing and then just some of the things, you know, what would I do if somebody put me in a chokehold? You know, could I get out of it? And I started thinking about, you know, maybe there is some good stuff to learn here. And so that's kind of what motivated me. And I kind of went in as a, you know, I don't know, you go in and you're like, you're kind of, I'm going to see, I'll take some classes. It'll be fun. I'll meet some people. But I got totally hooked.
So how long have you been taking classes?
Actually, I've only been a couple months. I'm probably at class number 15 or something like that.
So Scott, Lila says class number 15. Do you go up to class 1001, 5002?
Yeah, it's unlimited, you know. So it's kind of like a fitness as you go into the gym or
right.
something like that. It's just how fit do you want to get and how fit do you want to sustain, you know. So our people grow. They learn things right off the bat, and they continue to grow. But it just there's more and more depth, you know, as time goes on. And you revisit certain skill sets as well. And that way you can kind of, you know, make them more repeatable and more reactive.
So you're hooked, Lila.
Totally.
Amazing. What a nice story. So, Mr. Riley, how did you get hooked?
Well, I've been involved with martial arts for a good many years. I actually have a black belt in another system. And when I stopped working in that system, I was looking for something that would be street smart, something that was not necessarily just memorizing rote kata, you know, things like that, which, you know, that's fine if people want to do that. But I wanted something that was a little bit more practical and a little bit more applicable to self-defense, which is what I had studied in already. And Scott was the only person locally that was addressing things in a self-defense mode. And it was not, you know, it's, I think one of the phrases that he has up there, he says, understand, not memorize. And mm-hmm. I think that understanding the martial arts and how you move in the martial arts is very, very important. And Scott is right on. I mean, I started studying with Scott a little bit over five years ago, and I've just recently been earned my black belt in his system, and it's a great system. I really enjoy it, and what's interesting is that when Scott says there's depth, there's a lot of that. When you get your black belt is when you start, and that's when you kind of start getting into understanding what that means by depth. You know, anybody can throw a punch, but how to throw that punch just damn near perfectly is what you're really looking for. And in the depth that you get in studying martial arts, particularly fundamental martial arts, is great. There aren't 10,000 different things that you can do and high kicks and all that kind of stuff. It's very, very practical, very common sense approach to making sure that you are not going to be a victim.
So, Scott, what does the word fundamental mean in your studio title?
Yeah, the reason I chose fundamental is there's three reasons, really. One is, in my opinion, the self-defense value that my students talk about. That is, to me, the main purpose of seeking martial arts training. You know, there's other little things that you can get in martial arts, too. But for me personally, in my quest was I wanted to be skilled in protecting myself and my family. So that's the fundamental of martial arts to me, is the self-protection, self-defense aspect. And then in fundamentals, you cannot master anything in any type of topic unless you can master the fundamentals. So I want to make sure that my students are, you know, looking into the fundamentals of martial arts and in self-protection and honing that. And then, you know, that is absolutely the key foundational principle for me, and I build everything off of that.
So how long are classes? An hour or 2 hours or?
Classes are just 1 hour, and they're once a week, because everyone we have are adults, by the way, and they're professionals. You know, they may be retired, but, you know, they're busy people. And, you know, so we don't want to try to ask them to do 4 hours a week or four sessions a week. It's just, and then when they do three, they feel like a failure, you know. So I'd rather them seek one and get one done. You know, we have multiple options to choose from each week, but they plan on one a week. And then that's something that you can actually do from week to week, and then you're successful.
So, Miss Leela, I remember when Scott was with us for our first show, and I'll never forget this, that you said it's important to keep your head on a swivel.
Yes. Remember? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I never forgotten that.
We want to emphasize awareness,
yes.
Right? Awareness leads to prevention, you know, and prevention's the best self-defense, as one of my great teachers used to say. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you what awareness means, you know, and I told you last time, you know, that you want to try to seek out the good things, you know, when you're aware and stretch your senses, you know, so, you know, you want to listen and all that. But, you know, visual is obviously a big one for us, right? So instead of just looking for bad guys, traps and snares and so forth, you want to try to see the rainbow in the sky. You want to see the newborn baby. You want to see the old people holding hands. You want to see, you know, beautiful things. And when you practice it that way, you stretch your senses, because you begin to see more, you know, beautiful things in your environment, right? And then along with that, I get what I need, and that's you seeing the bad guys too. Because if you're stretching your senses, of course, you're going to pick up more trouble in your view as well.
So, Leela, what has this done to your senses when you're in the grocery store, walking down the street, or in an aisle in the store? Are you aware? Is your head on a swivel? Or are you looking at the great sense and you're looking and being desirous in the ice cream counter?
I'm always looking at ice cream,
okay,
if I'm honest. But I will say that, again, coming from this place, there's so many areas where we get into a false sense of security. And it could be a stairwell. You think, oh, I'm just going to run. I take the stairs a lot. Like if I'm in a parking lot, I take the stairs. Now, what time is it when I'm taking the stairs? If I'm taking the stairs, I need to think about that. Because some stuff can happen in a minute in a stairwell, and you think you're safe, and you're not. Another thing that I noticed, and something that I think everybody can relate with, is the darn phone. I've always got my phone in my hand. I'm always looking at them. So I might be walking from the checkout to my car and just seeing, and I'm looking. My head is down. I'm not noticing if there's a minivan next to my car. And yes, I said minivan, because a lot of people don't think, you know, if it looks like some creepy, rapey van, that you might be a little careful. But a minivan, you know, with its door that opens and my car door right there, it takes 2 seconds to pull somebody into a car. And if I'm not thinking of that, you know, and again, I wasn't trying to become paranoid, but I think awareness, and I love Scott's MO, which is don't tune your consciousness to look to all the bad things. Have awareness be a holistic thing. Look at what's awesome. You know, mm-hmm. Be safe when you drive. Keep that space, that defensible space. It's all there to do. But focus on the happy. Focus on the PMA.
Right.
Right? Positive mental attitude.
We have to take a break, and we will bring our positive mental attitudes back for our listeners and talk more to our martial artists and the captain of the ship, Scott Shepherd. We'll be right back, listeners.
You're listening to Hammer Time, Waking Up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey, everybody. Good morning, and thanks for listening to Hammer Time. It's Saturday.
Unless
you tune in tomorrow, and then it's Sunday. Last day of the month of August, and then Labor Day.
But the good news is you get the same information both days.
That's
so if you
right.
missed part of it yesterday
Absolutely.
On Saturday, today you're
Absolutely.
Good on Sunday.
Absolutely. So we have with us this morning martial artists. So Mr. Tom Riley, I didn't know, and Scott, that you could obtain belts with your martial artist.
Yep.
Your
study. Even though we are, you know, extremely street practical and all that, and we kind of aren't, you know, in line necessarily with the traditional style of martial
right.
arts, I do use a lot of the things that, you know, general traditional martial arts people are used to, because I want a student to see where they are on the path. And they're on the same path I am and so forth. But, you know, if they know where kind of their rank is, they know how far they've come, they know how far they have ahead, and they have a sense of where they are on the journey, you know. And so it's good, you know, good for anybody to have a sense of, if you're learning guitar or anything else, okay, when can I play songs, you know. You get a sense of that. And so we do have rank system for mostly that purpose.
So, Mr. Riley, what rank system? You're at a black belt rank system?
Yes, first black.
And then how far can that go?
Three, I believe.
Yep. So we have first degree, the expert levels are first degree black, second degree black, third degree black. And then we have a black with red stripe, which is kind of like an infinity level, which is our highest rank for a student to obtain.
So as the teacher, you must certainly have a ranking?
Yes. Well, mine's black with gold, being the founder and Sifu of the art.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
So, Lila, what are your intentions and your visions of a ranking?
You know, it never occurred to me, and I didn't even think about it, because that wasn't my intention
right.
for joining. But one of the interesting things that's happened, in addition to feeling a lot more confident just in my physical self, was that I'm learning that what I'm noticing is how much this is infiltrating into my life. And it's less about, can I protect myself? But like the FMA principles are inspiring how I show up in the world. You know, and I actually got so inspired, I wrote an article about it because I was like, this is wild. Like, I didn't know. I sneak in. I come in twice a week sometimes because I like to repeat the lesson.
Number one, being a beautiful 5 foot tall woman, there is no sneaking in. Right, Scott?
I get there.
Yeah.
I get in there. But I love the classes that I go to are all women of all ages. That was the other thing that really got me, was there's young ladies who are ready to go off to college, and there's women who could be my mother's age.
Wow.
And I would not mess with them in a parking lot, I'll tell you that. I was really impressed with that. But I'm noticing, like, even when I don't want to come to class, I'm like, oh, I could go. I don't have, nobody's making me go. I
right.
go because I want to go. But I show up even if I don't want to, and I get something out of it. You get so present when you're in there. You know, you're kind of sweaty. You can't think about your laundry or anything you have to do that day. You're just in it, and you're like, wow. And I didn't realize I needed that. You know, I'm self-employed, so I'm always thinking about work. And I get into class, and I forgot about everything for an hour of my time, and that is very valuable to me.
Perfect.
A lot of our students are business owners or are busy people, and so I get a lot of feedback that they do appreciate that, because they have to focus. You know, I have high expectations for them, right? That's my responsibility, basically, for them, right? So so I push them, but they respond very, very well, and they have to push out everything else and not be distracted about their general life. So it's almost like a meditation for that hour, and then when they're done, they can go back to their regular life. But for that hour, they get to check out, and it's an advantage for them.
Interesting. So, Mr. Riley, do you find the same thing that Lila just expressed, that it's an hour of checkout, and how does that help you with your positive mental attitude and your protective resources?
Well, for me, it's very, very similar. I enjoy going to class, and basically, how much better can I get this? You know, and basically it's kind of like delving down into whether it's a particular scenario, which is, you know, somebody grabbing you and you're getting yourself out of it, or if it's simply you're doing something and you're practicing movements. And we call it shadow boxing. You know, you're practicing punches and strikes and different things like that. For me, it's was I in balance when I threw that punch? Was I in a good place? Is there any place else? What could I have improved in throwing that punch? And then digging down into those kinds of things, it is sort of a meditative thing where you get there. And I enjoy it in particular because one of the things I have the opportunity, I'm also an instructor with FMA. And so I get the opportunity to work with other men. And I will tell you, if you want to learn something, try teaching it.
Good point.
You know, so for me, it's when I see somebody do something, I go, oh, wow, I do that. You know, or I've seen that before. Oh, I've got to improve on that because he did that better than I did. You know, those kinds of things. So being able to work with people and teach and instruct is probably one of the most important aspects of my learning that has come across.
So when you're throwing punches, as you said, or shadow boxing?
Yeah, okay. Shadow boxing.
So do you do it on your own, or Scott, are you in there and they're throwing punches at you and you're the bad guy teaching them?
I'm guiding them, but
okay.
They're doing it on their own.
Okay.
And then I assess them as they go and then give them feedback, and then they self-correct as well, which is my goal for them to do. But then if they're not self-correcting, then I butt in and tell them what they need to do. And so the idea is, you know, you want to refine this, as he said, you know, how much better can I be? The reason that's important is there's no forgiveness. If we're talking about a true street engagement, which, by the way, is very valid thing to be concerned with out there. This we're not training for punks to deal with. We don't need training for that. We're dealing with someone who's dangerous, aggressive, bigger, stronger, etc. So if they're like that, there's no forgiveness. Okay, there's consequences if we're not doing our job, which is protecting ourselves or our family. So we can't kind of do that. There's no successful version of kind of defending yourself. So my responsibility to them then is to make sure they're as sharp as they can be.
So name a great trait that you've seen in Leah as a student.
She is, well, she's came, you know, with an intensity,
right.
But her focus is excellent, you know. So she just got her first rank recently, by the way.
Awesome. Congratulations.
And we don't hand these out for free. I mean, they're earned, believe me. And they're earned because I want the integrity of the rank system to
right.
be such, and so that they know that they've grown. She's a perfect student. I'm thrilled to have her. She's applying herself great, but the focus is excellent, and she's attention to detail, and she self-corrects. That's great.
Amazing. Wow, Leah, congratulations.
Thank you.
We've got that over the airwaves.
Yeah.
Perfect student.
Look out.
Yes, look out, world. We have to take a break, and when we come back, we will find out Mr. Tom Riley's ranking from the owner, from the teacher. We'll find out what your traits are. So yeah. Listeners, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Everybody, thank you for tuning in. We've got a great show this morning with Mr. Scott Shepherd, owner of FMA, Fundamental Martial Arts, and two students with us this morning, Ms. Leah Harding and Mr. Tom Riley. And we are finding about what makes them tick, why they've got into fundamental martial arts, why they like it. And Scott, before we divert over to Tom, in the community that we live in, should we all be aware, do we have more bad guys coming into our universe? What are the percentages?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. And this is a little bit of a long answer, but there's two things I kind of want to say. One is, in Arizona itself, there are more people that are let out of jails and prisons on an annual basis than there are in the population of the Quad Cities. And then two-thirds of that number, studies show, are likely to reoffend. So we have that fact. Mm. And then we have this fact. There are 645 good guys to each one registered sex offender in Yavapai County. And so let's look at that number, and let's take an event at the courthouse, say, of 5,000 people. So that means that there's 8 registered sex offenders then at that event of 5,000 people. But you must ask yourself, how many really sex offenders are there to that registered number? I'll bet there's, say, 10%. So now we need to take that 8 that we're talking about it and multiply it by 10. So now there's 80 real sex offenders at an event with 5,000 people. And then I'd like you to ask yourself, how many types of bad guys are there? Well, there's sex offenders, there's traffickers, there's muggers, there's domestic violence guys, there's, you know, gang people, et cetera, et cetera. So I bet we could sit here and list 10 types real fast. So now take that 80 and multiply that by 10. So there's 800 weirdos, basically, at a 5,000-person event in downtown Prescott. So, yeah, it's a legitimate thing to consider.
You're creeping up on 20%.
Yep. It's 1 out of 5, roughly.
So pay attention. So let's give Mr. Riley, what is one of his fine attributes?
Wow. That...
Oh, God.
This is on air, Riley.
Yeah. You know, consistency, okay, is a big one for at his level. You have to be striving in a continuous way to get to the level he's at and his skill and knowledge of FMA. And he's, as like you said, as an instructor, that's when I started. I've been an instructor 3 times now in different martial arts, and that's when I started understanding the art better, is once I started teaching it. And so he's an excellent instructor. So I'm grateful to have him as an instructor, but, you know, as a student, he's very consistent of seeking improvement, and that is the absolutely greatest quality you have as a student.
I have to add something to that. When I came in, I had a black belt from another system. It took me 2.5 years to unlearn.
Shake that off, yep.
To unlearn a lot of the things that I had learned in the previous. And it's not that everything is just so much different. It's just the focus is different. The intention is different. And Scott was very patient with me. And even asking questions and questioning him and questioning this and questioning that, he was very, very patient, never hit me once.
I think you're very lucky.
I am.
I think, not to brag, but I think one of the FMA's greatest things, what I'm most proud of, is that we have high expectations for our students. I think a lot of schools, and I've been to many, are trying to – they expect a student to come in there and just kind of entertain themselves, and out they go. But we take regular people and turn them into true martial artists, to true people with true skill. And that's what I want FMA to be. And so these people who are kind of, you know, achiever-type people or have a reason to protect their family – I mean, I have a lady recently that's got 2 or 3 children, and she's, you know, nervous about her classes, but she's trying her heart out because she wants to protect her kids. But so I have a responsibility that I think is unique. I think a lot of instructors or sifu say want to be that, but I insist that my students seek their potential, and I think that is probably the number one best thing that FMA offers our students.
So Mike comes to you and he wants to take the class and go into FMA. How long does it take? Does every student, their timeline is different? They have different visions? I mean, Tom has been with you for years.
Yep.
Look at Leila. Leila, I think you're hooked for life.
Yep. Leila's hooked, I believe. Tom's stuck, too, I think. But, you know,
how do you know if Mike has ability up front?
Yeah, I've suggested to people to not train at my school before, you know.
Okay.
So I like to get a sense if they're up to it. The first couple months are tough because, you know, it's even though it's just once a week, the schedule's not too bad, but I cram you each week, and we're working right off the bat. Now, it doesn't mean that everyone can do it. It's just you got to meet me. I try to meet you where you're at, but you got to meet me where I'm at too,
right.
And so you got to want it a little bit, and you got to do the work, and you will sweat, and it's a little bit tough. But the challenge, if you can accept it, is worth it.
Lisa's shaking.
But Mike can do it. Mike can do it.
Okay. You know, one of the things I would think that you're certainly dealing with all myriads of personalities.
Right.
From aggressive or type A personalities to people who are very laid back.
Right.
But I think there may be a misnomer out there that, oh, well, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not cut out to be aggressive. I'm more passive. So that's not for me.
Right.
And that's probably one, in my opinion, probably one of the biggest misnomers out there.
It's what's most rewarding to me because I've trained with a lot of martial artists in my day, right? But who people come to FMA for is they're regular people, okay? That's my target, is regular people, moms and dads, you know, college-bound girls and, you know, that kind of thing, retired people, all of that. They're not necessarily martial artists, just like Leela. She didn't give a hoot about martial arts, you know, but she's into it now because it's a personal growth vehicle, right? And so it's just along the way you get very skilled, and why not? That should be a primary thing that we look at. So I gave you those numbers. It's a very valid thing to be doing.
So, Tom, did you know Leela before the radio show today? Did you two have connections through martial arts, or this was your first meetup?
This is our first meetup. Like Leela was saying, there are separate classes for men and for women. And that makes women feel much more comfortable, which I think is very important.
I would agree.
Right. Yeah. You know, and so I very rarely, I usually get to meet the ladies when they leave their class on a Saturday morning, and they're walking down the hallway, and we say good morning to each other, and we pass, and they go out, and we go in. And so that's about the extent of the interaction that we've had. Now, my daughter has also taken some classes with Scott, and she has gotten a few of the things in the way right now, but she wants to get back to that too. And I think one time I went with my daughter to the women's class and was there helping out teaching that class too when Scott was elsewhere. So it's nice to be able to do that, and it's nice to have that interaction. And by bringing my daughter to the class gave me the non-creeper.
You know, I was going to say something. I'm pretty type A, forward, very extroverted. I'm happy to see how many of the women and the young ladies in the classes don't fit that category. And I'm not sure why they're there, but I'm glad they're there because something tells me they want this. Something has happened or they've seen something happen and they're not extroverted. A lot of them are very shy, but they are learning a skill. They're learning to fight for their life. It's really makes me cry every time I think about it.
So not only are they learning that skill, but that skill is improving their self-worth.
Their self-esteem, 150%.
Exactly.
Beautiful. We have to take a break. Mike, take us off, and when we come back, we will finish our show.
You bet you. With Scott, Leela, and Tom, we're having a great conversation, and Sandy and I are learning some things.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned. We've got some more information coming your way. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Hammer Time. Tom, Leela, and Scott, and Mike, this show has just zipped right by this morning.
You know, when we were off air, we were talking about what we want to cover in the last segment, and I thought, oh, no, this is the third segment. This can't be last.
I know, it is last. Man. So, Scott, share with our listeners, take us down a path where we haven't gone yet this morning, because this is about you as the instructor, you teaching students how to protect themselves in the crazy world that we live in nowadays. What are some words of wisdom and some thought processes?
Yeah, a quick takeaway for your listeners is, you know, a lot of people are concerned, you know, what would I do if? And I've had a lot of stories, you know, people have told me over the years, and at any time, half of my students have had engagements, you know. And so they tell me their stories, and they've had full-scale assaults and such. And the common thread was they couldn't believe it was real. They felt like they were in a dream state. It was just, you know, they froze, didn't know what to do. So I would suggest that you accept your situation. If something comes up and it's one of the worst days of your life, you have to accept it. You can't try to dream it away and put your head in the sand, okay? And we've all had our hands shake and stuff. That's adrenaline. That's fear not being applied. So that is God's gift for you to run or fight. And so if you can run and not get caught, then run. But if you feel you're going to get caught in 10 feet, then you need to fight now and create the opportunity to run safely. So that's what the fight aspect's all about. So we talk about prevention, but everything we teach is about, you know, solving the problem and creating the opportunity to separate from that threat. We also have to assume that threat is bigger and stronger and are very aggressive.
Than you are.
That's right. And so they're fighting for their life too. But that's another fundamental word key that I'd like to talk about is that, you know, the more threat that you are under, the more simple you want to be. So I don't teach these guys spinning hook kicks in midair and stuff, okay? Because for one, I'm talking about regular people who don't have time to stretch 10 hours a week and do this business. But two, it's useless. I mean, you know, a lot of gun people are listening right now, and I'm a gun guy too, but you've heard of the expression two center mass. That's because a gun person wants to put two in the chest, two center mass, because to keep it simple, there is no shoot the gun out of their hand type of thing. That's the dream. It's ridiculous. So, you know, you want to keep it simple. So you want to keep the two center mass analogy, but with hand-to-hand work. But you want to accept your situation and apply your fear. And guys, when they come in, they're willing, and they're a little bit erratic. So they're kind of like a hand grenade. They have a lot of force, but it's all over the place. And so I don't want you to be a hand grenade with that force. I want you to take that same force and put it down a rifle barrel and aim that and concentrate that force in a particular target that you're trying to break down a function item, ideally, so that they don't have the ability to restrain you as well as they had.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, Tom, when you came into class for the first time, did you come in, and I think I heard you correctly, you had to unlearn things that you have learned before. So are you coming in as a macho guy? This is going to be easy, and I'm going to kick and swirl and twirl, and I'm going to learn everything in 2 days?
Oh, I never thought I was going to kick, swirl, and twirl. I'm not very good at that.
Okay.
But yeah, I came in with an attitude. I came in with the attitude of, hey, I'm already a black belt. What else can you teach me?
Okay.
And I fairly quickly learned how much more I can learn. And like I said, it probably took a couple of years to unlearn a lot of the things that I came in with. But like I said, Scott was patient and he took me through it and I wanted to get through it.
I think this is so interesting. Two different real examples of students. One coming in, hey, I've got this down, you know, look at me. And then Leela, who really maybe didn't want to be there. Oh, I'm just going to see what this is like and I'm out of here. I'll spend an hour. And look at you, you have turned into this martial artist that understands protective forces and how to take care of yourself.
It's way more gratifying than I thought it was going to be. I actually hope I never have to use it. And one of the biggest things I've had to work through is the reality of the force that is required. Like you have to it's kind of confronting. But if that happened to me, I would be happy to poke my finger right through your eyeball.
Right.
Yeah. Which is, but if somebody's got me and intends to hurt, what are you going to do? You going to die or not?
And the reason that's necessary quickly is because a slap across the face or a pounding on the chest that most people would do isn't enough. So if someone's bigger and stronger than Leela and they mean to harm her, she has to do something to harm them to reduce their ability to restrain her. It's just a necessity.
And I remember you sharing that with us the first time you were on our show, and I remember the eyeballs. And so there's proof.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully I'll be have the presence of mind and respond so well that I would be able to get out of something and not need to do that. But if I did, I would.
So, wow, and so you there. Say that with such force. That's amazing.
And there's the confidence.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Amazing. Good for you.
Confidence comes with training.
It does.
And so the more you train, you know, you basically train your response so that when the time comes that you have to apply it, it's okay. You don't have to sit there and go, see, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do? The training's kicked in, and all the things that you've done just immediately come to mind, and you are responding to the situation that you're in.
So do you do practice scenarios in your class?
We sure do. We have scenarios, yep.
Okay, so share a scenario.
Well, maybe what we were just working on last week was a headlock. So, you know, it's very common for someone to come from behind you and kind of grab you by the throat type of thing. So we have maybe a 4 or 5 step solution to that. Now, one thing that we also do is I want to make sure, well, first of all, we teach them to say the 4 or 5 steps, but I want to make sure that they're learning step by step, because what if the guy lets go halfway through and changes his method? Of that attack, right? Well, then I want my student to be able to roll with that and adapt and handle it from there. They may go from a headlock to something else. So we learn the headlock solution very, very well, but we also then we do it fluidly and so forth. But then we do it where the bad guy or their partner doesn't cooperate in some fashion, and they have to adapt to that lack of cooperation and still manage the problem.
Wow. So your classes are an hour long. What days of the week do you teach, Scott?
We teach all week long.
Monday through Friday?
Yep. But a lot of my time slots are private classes. But we have right now we have 4 women's spots each week and 1 men's spot each week. And everything else is workshops and private classes. So we do workshops, by the way. If anyone's listening, has businesses, they want their company to go through this, we can do team builder type workshops for them.
Do you come to them or do they have to come to
your studio? It can be either way.
Okay, awesome.
Mm-hmm, either way.
So how many students in a class?
We like to keep it intimate. So I don't like to have more than 10 people in a group class.
I would think I'm shocked that it's that many. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's somewhere between 4 to 10, I would say, and it floats, you know. But I'd say a good size is 6 to 8. And then that's, you know, everyone can see other people working. And by the way, we have more experienced people in with beginners instead of having beginner classes. And the reason for that is the experienced people help the beginners along, and it's motivating for the beginners. They can kind of see where they're going. And because both levels have to practice the moves over and over again anyway. So they're just practicing at a different depth level of wherever they are in their path.
So does a student stay with you then for as long as they want to have continued training? Or Lila, do you have a vision that, hey, I'm going to do this for 6 more months and then I'm going back to my work life and concentrating on work and work and work? Or do you see this as being with you for months and months and months?
I am personally. I'm one of these kind of people who doesn't like to do all the same things all the time, and thinking about it kind of stresses me out. So I think what I'm doing now is I'm just enjoying it.
Okay.
And I'm fascinated, though, to meet how many people have participated in this who are with Scott for years. I've never done anything like that where I've stuck with something. So I guess the answer is I don't know, but there's a good likelihood that I'll keep coming.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So I think this is a vocation that it's summed up by, it's not what you know, it's what you don't know.
Yeah, that's way more curious to me, you know, that's way more curious to me. And I was just going to say that the other thing that just because it just really, it's where it motivated me to write this article about my experience is that, you know, you don't want to be about paranoia, you know, it's not about being scared. It's about permission to exist, and especially for women to take up space, to be like, I'm here, I'm visible, and I'm not worried that I'm visible. I'm visible, yeah, deal with me, instead of apologizing for being,
absolutely.
You know?
You're right.
So, I mean, to me, that's like, that's worth, you can't put a price tag on that.
You're right.
I don't think we need to work on her self-confidence much more.
I don't either.
I think she's doing great.
Mental attitude. We'll be right back, listeners, to wrap up our show.
You're listening to Hammer Time, waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Once again, here's your host, Sandy Griffiths.
You guys, thank you so much for being with Mike and me. We have 30 seconds left. What a great show. Listeners, my number is 778-0040 if you need anything. Scott, share your number and website.
Website is PrescottDefenseSkills.com, and the number is 928-925-2642.
Say it one more time.
PrescottDefenseSkills.com.
Perfect. Thank you for being with us. Leah, you are a most beautiful, charming woman. So happy to meet you. Tom Riley, we love you. Thanks for being in my life, friend. until next weekend. And Scott, we love you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hammer Time.
Thank you for tuning in to Hammer Time. Waking up with the YCCA, a presentation of the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Heard each and every Saturday morning at 7, with an encore presentation Sunday mornings at 7 on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM in Prescott, 95.5 FM Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and online at kqna.com. A library of past Hammer Time shows can be listened to on the Yavapai County Contractors website at ycca.org.
Break it down!